I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WGR.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton.
Sports Radio 550.
He's the consummate pro.
It's John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
With Chopin the Bulldog.
John Clayton is being brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Okay, now it's the weekend. John Clayton on Thursdays at 5. Usually a Thursday night game. We don't have Thursday night games. We do have the divisional round and a colossal matchup between the Bills and the Chiefs. John Clayton on the West Her Hotline. John, you planning on watching all four of these games coming up?
Yes, I definitely am. No question about it.
That's good. That's what I expected. So
yeah, because again, it's like these are great matchups, maybe with one exception. I don't know about San Francisco and Green Bay, particularly with Jimmy Garoppolo with a shoulder injury and a thumb injury and everything else. But every other game is a real good one.
We started the week talking about how this game is so big and interesting and great. Then the Bills just had this game against New England that fans here will talk about for many years. And we've sort of played that out over the course of the week, John. Like, all right, are we done with Saturday yet? Are we on to Kansas City yet? So I do want to go back to Saturday night, though, with you, for at least one reason. That game, statistically, the Bills' performance on offense, statistically, is like up there with as good as you've ever seen in the NFL. I mean, seven possessions, seven touchdowns. They never had longer than third and four. They never had fourth down, on and on. What's your perspective on that? Like, were you thinking that way watching it, or is there another game maybe that comes to mind as like superior or something along those lines?
Well, I mean, what, there's six games and three blowouts, and this was the biggest blowout of the three. But I mean, did you ever expect, particularly as close as this division was with New England and Buffalo, the Patriots to play that bad? I mean, you know, Josh Allen just destroyed them. You know, what I give them credit for, which I hope continues in this game against the Kansas City Chiefs, is running the football. Because the more the Bills run, which is something they did not do until later in the season, and I think that their offense became too predictable by not running, is really put the opponents at a big disadvantage. And, of course, Josh Allen's running has been spectacular. And so it's like you put all that together, and that makes them that much more of a dangerous team.
John, would you like laugh out of the room the thought that perhaps the Bills sort of played possum on their running game all year?
No. I mean, it's like they just became too predictable. I mean, and they paid a price for it. They had bad games. And so it's like if they're playing possum, you know, what are you doing? I mean, you don't play possum. You try to win every football game you can. And you put your best talent, your best game plan, everything out there. So I don't think they just didn't play their play possum. I just think they, you know, made some mistakes.
What is possum actually as a game? Like, what is this? What is this possum?
I don't know. You asked.
Bulldog is a term. I'm familiar with the term.
I guess it's up to me to explain this to everyone. Now?
Maybe.
Possum is like you're sort of you're turtling. You're just not. You're not really doing your best. You're sort of just covering yourself and waiting to unleash.
Holding back. Your best cards, your best.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I don't know if it really makes sense in the context in which I used it, and so
no,
maybe it's
appropriate
make sense that you called
me on
it. National
Football League, that's for sure.
I wasn't calling out the usage. I just think it's kind of a silly term.
Yeah,
playing possum, because what actually is possum? All right, John. Well, sorry to waste your time with that. My fault. So, I mean, what that game does, the same thing kind of happened, the way I see it, the same thing kind of happened last year with the Dolphins, mm-hmm. who came here, end of the season, a chance to make the playoffs, and then they just got blown out. And you can end up having to decide whether you're, you know, around average quarterback is good enough to keep going with. You see teams get stuck in that sort of situation, and maybe New England will be there in a couple of years. I mean, Jones did a nice job overall, but they might feel like they were just really inferior Saturday night leaving here.
Well, I had to, because, again, of how bad they played. But, again, Bill Belichick feeling inferior is something that we're not accustomed to.
Yeah.
And particularly with the season that he had. And because, remember, I mean, they had their best off seasons for spending. You know, they improved, supposedly, their offense, you know, adding two $12.5 million tight ends and, you know, $11 million wide receiver, Kendrick Bourne, all those different things, getting Matthew Judon. And, you know, they looked like the Houston Texans.
Yeah, they looked pretty slow. Like, on defense, John, like, that's the bigger thing to me. I mean, Mac Jones, actually, I thought – early on, like, made some plays that surprised me a little bit. The throw to Aguilar that Hyde picks off is, it's not a bad throw at all. I mean, it's right there. It's right in stride. It's just Hyde just makes a superior play. But the defense getting run out of the place, I mean, that is Belichick's calling card. And, man, I just love to know how shook he was by what he saw on the field, because he just could not keep up. And it is not just a one-off either. The last three of the last four times they've played, I mean, Allen has just gone off against him and his defense, and the only game that he didn't was played in the tornado.
Yeah, so it's like, to me it's just totally baffling. And, you know, you got to kind of wonder, it's like, you know, what's Bill thinking? And how is he going to fix it? Because, again, you know, here's you know, supposedly what had been a very close division, and this wasn't even a close game whatsoever. And so it was one where, you know, the Patriots were just so, so bad.
Well, the Bills looked great in that game, and now they go to Arrowhead Stadium. Like, this is not even the AFC Championship, of course. It's a tough road. How do you feel like they stack up here?
I think it's a very even game, because, you know, Kansas City, of course, I mean, one of the things you saw last week against Pittsburgh, and this will be a problem for the Bills, is that they're so good when Tyreek Hill's healthy to get the run after the catch. I mean, what was it? Mahomes had 404 yards, and about 238 or 258 of that was yards after the catch. And that'll be a problem for the Bills' cornerbacks, because, you know, obviously Tre'Davious White is out for the season, and the cornerbacks are going to be really challenged with the fast wide receivers. That's a problem. But then, of course, I mean, as Joe mentioned, there's some injury situations right now at cornerback for the and in the secondary for the Chiefs, and that's going to be a problem against the Bills' wide receiving core. So I think this is going to be a wild, high-scoring game between two great quarterbacks.
Well, let's hope, right? I mean, It's a little much maybe to say that this is the future of the league. It's already been the present for a while with Mahomes. I mean, he's been to two Super Bowls already. But it's the AFC. Really, I'm thinking back to the Patriots point, John, where, like, you have AFC teams, including the Bills, who have just – they look great at quarterback, including Cincinnati, who plays on Saturday. And it's going to probably keep at least most of those teams a level above, maybe for many years.
Yeah, and particularly in the AFC, because, again, you have so many good young quarterbacks, and, you know, they're coming into their own. You know, Trevor Lawrence still isn't there yet, but you figure that at some point he'll step up once they get the coaching change, in a year or two after the coaching change. And then, you know that Joe Burrow has maneuvered to be now one of the better quarterbacks in the AFC. I mean, the AFC is loaded.
How about Burrow this week? John, they go to Tennessee. I think we've talked with just about everyone we talk to on any kind of a regular basis about Tennessee maybe not being a very solid number one seed, but they're there. They earned it. How much of a chance do you give the Bengals going in there?
I still give them a chance, but also, I mean, look at the Titans right now. They're obviously a little bit better if Derrick Henry is able to get into the rotation, which he should. And then, of course, you got Julio Jones probably playing a little bit more. That makes him more dangerous. And now it's a matter of trying to match up against Joe Burrow and the Bengals' offense, which isn't going to be easy for the Titans because I'm not sold that they're great on defense.
So you think Green Bay in the NFC is maybe like the safest pick of the
yep.
weekend?
Oh, 100%.
6-point favorite. It's very close spreads otherwise. I mean, six isn't massive either. How do you like the one team getting a bye format?
I mean, it's fine. I mean, again, it's like you've got, adding the seventh wild card, the seventh team in the playoffs hasn't worked out because the seventh team hasn't been able to do hardly anything in the first 2 years of the 14 games. But again, it's like two more games to play, which, of course, more football is good football. And from the owner's standpoint, they get about $150 million of additional revenue from those two games. So, you know, the owners like it. So it's not going to change.
No, I wouldn't think that.
But it hardly, to me, was a success. You already said it. Like, these games were, there were a lot of blowouts. You know, oh, Monday night, first time ever, super wild card weekend. Like, oh, please. Like, we couldn't have had that game at 12:30 on Saturday. I mean, Arizona, thanks for coming. So, I mean, as a fan, I mean, I know what drives it. The money point is the point. And so it's never going away. But, man, it resulted in some pretty lousy games.
It really did, yeah. I mean, because, again, you look at that the six games, five of them were won by division, you know, the teams that were favorites, you know, four division championships and that. And the only upset was a predictable upset with San Francisco beating Dallas. And so, you know, it turned into a very predictable super wild card playoff weekend.
I always thought the two byes was the perfect number because the one has the advantage, the added advantage of home field. But the two, I mean, that's meaningful also. And this year, you know, yes, home field in the second round, say the Chiefs in this case this week, they've earned that. Mm-hmm. But the bye is just huge. And so I like watching the extra games. I did watch the extra games, but I think the other format was like really, really excellent.
Yeah, but it's not going to change.
I know. I just wanted your opinion on it. I know it's not. I'd expect more teams before fewer teams in the playoffs.
Right.
Where's the eighth seed?
Let's put it this way. Let's hope they don't do that.
They could. Like, there's the obvious the obvious money reason. And then maybe it will seem over time that the one seed's advantage is too pronounced.
Right. So go back to eight gets you back to two
no,
bye weeks.
No buys.
Yeah, but when you think go back to last year, was the Chicago Bears a playoff team? No. I mean, they went 8-8, and they weren't a playoff team, but they made the playoffs. Were the Philadelphia Eagles a playoff team? And I say the answer is no. You know, because again, I mean, you look at them. I'm not sold that they have a playoff type of quarterback. You know, they won nine games, but again, that they made it because there were seven playoff teams.
Of course. John Clayton on the West Her hotline. So this is the time of year where there are coaching changes around the league. I see today that Brian Daboll, the Bills offensive coordinator, is the new betting favorite to be the Bears head coach. There had been a lot of Brian Flores talk right away with Chicago. Let's start there and then talk about Daboll and Leslie Frazier also, who are both interviewing in a couple of places.
Yeah, but you can't figure out the Bears. I mean, right now they're about as confusing as any team looking for a head coach and a general manager. I mean, what is it? They had 14 candidates for the GM job, and they're still going through them. I mean, give me a break. And so it's like, and they're not going to hire a coach until they get the GM. And so they still have to go probably toward the middle or late next week to figure out all the interviews for the GM job. And that's going to be the case. It's going to hold everything back.
That's the Giants, too, right? The Giants
are... Yeah, but the Giants are real close. I think they're going to hire Adam Peters of San Francisco here. I mean, they had three finalists for the job. They finished the interview with the three finalists. Adam Peters seems to be the one right now that has the favorite chance.
Okay.
Which job do you think is the most attractive? Would it be Jacksonville just because Trevor Lawrence is already there?
Jacksonville and Denver, both.
Yeah.
I'm not excluding one from the other because, you know, Jacksonville, I mean, they have Trevor Lawrence and all the cap room. You look at Denver, I mean, they got George Payton as general manager, the best secondary in the league, three really good wide receivers, Javonte Williams at running back, Noah Fant at tight end. So I really like them.
What do you think they'll end up doing at quarterback? That's got to be front and center for anybody taking that job. Is either
anybody's guess
to find a quarterback, or what are you going to get me at quarterback?
Anybody's guess. I mean, again, nobody knows the quarterback. I mean, can you predict who's going to go to Pittsburgh? No. Can you pick? I mean, nobody knows. Too early to tell.
I can try, but I could probably.
No, you can try.
I'd be
but
wrong.
It's going to be too early, and you're probably going to be wrong.
But they'll go big after any veteran that ends up being available, right? Denver?
Yes, agreed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they went for Teddy Bridgewater because he was one of the few that were remaining. But naturally, I mean, you know, they'd love to be able to get Aaron Rodgers, but that, I think that's right now not looking good, you know, because, again, Aaron may just stay in Green Bay or he may retire. I don't know what he's going to do, but that's still up in the air. If Rodgers is available, they'll dig out anything to try to get him.
So, John, you're going to watch all these games. What's your setup? Like, do you have multiple TVs? Do you have a big comfy chair where, like, the reclines? What do you like to do for these games?
Well, I got a big wide screen, and, watch it here in the bedroom with my wife.
Are you on social media during games, or you stay away from that?
I stay away from it because I just want to watch football.
Yeah. And you watch, like, if you are late to a game, will you record it and then watch it from the beginning, or will you just pick it up maybe wherever it is live?
Just pick it up. Yeah, I'm not going to go back and rewatch old news. I want to see new news, particularly
there it is.
When you're talking playoffs.
You don't want to be behind the times on that. You got to just get there.
Absolutely not.
Catch right up. I see.
No.
And when the last game is over, can you get right to sleep? Because I cannot. I end up, like, the Sunday night game ends, and I'm, like, wired after that.
Yeah, I mean, I have trouble sleeping enough. And, you know, so it's like it's not easy at all to be able to do that. So, no, it's like the games don't play into my feeling for sleep or anything else. It's just that I don't sleep. I can't fall asleep that easy.
I'm sorry to hear that. Appreciate you taking that question, by the way. I didn't mean to seem like too personal or anything like that, but, you know, just something I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
All right, John. Well, we're going to have Kurt Warner on next.
Nice.
Have you had nice conversations with him over the years?
Oh, great. In fact, I mean, you can ask him this, but I work with him doing some sideline games with Kevin Harlan and him when they on Westwood One.
You were on the side, like on
game.
One sideline? For the, like, Monday nights, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's like, I mean, for Westwood One, I mean, they haven't had a sideline reporter for the last two seasons because of the pandemic, but again, it's like, I've done a whole bunch of games with Kurt and Kevin Harlan.
Okay, well, it might come up. If it does, I'll let you know.
Okay.
If he says anything about you that you should know about, I'll let you know.
Okay. And plus, we voted him into the Hall of Fame.
I'm sure he's grateful. I'm sure. And there's a movie about him, too. There's a lot to ask Kurt Warner about these days. Thank you, John. Always a pleasure.
Okay, thanks.
There you go. There's John Clayton on our West Her Hotline, and his appearances on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
You stay up after games? Go to sleep? Can you do it? Like this game.
I have started watching games to the end. But you're right. I do end up. What happens is I've got this, like, you know, I feel like I want to fall asleep around halftime, and if I don't, I'm there, and then it's 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, so yeah, I'm the same as you, and I guess John. I have trouble. I don't have trouble falling asleep in general, but if, like, the window is open and I don't go through it, then it's 2-3 hours.
Last week, so we did post game until after 1. I got home. I wanted a drink. Like, after that game, I'm watching it here. I'm working. Post game, I get home. I wanted a drink. I remember it was 2:50. I remember, like, how late am I going to stay up here? I'm watching The Crown. It's 2 a.m. Like, I'm just not tired yet. And so I was thinking about that, like, carefully. Like, what time is it going to be when I actually get tired? It was 2:50.
Yeah, I did. Similarly, I also wanted a drink. And I went for a big, like, 10%+ stout. And I'm not kidding. I drank, like, 3 sips of it and put it in the fridge and thought, I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
Good move.
And then I lay there for 90 minutes.
Good effort. Good idea.
Anyway. I know. Because I'm like, I started drinking the beer, and I just thought, I don't need to do. I feel tired. I think I'm going to go to bed, and it didn't work. I should have just drunk the beer. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, that might have turned into one or two more, and then
Kurt Warner next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Sabres hockey tonight here on WGR. Welcome back. Mike Schope and the Bulldog here on WGR. Joining us now on the West Her Hotline, making his first appearance on our show, I'm quite sure, but someone who needs almost no introduction, Kurt Warner. Kurt, our pleasure to have you on. I'm Mike, he's Chris. And I mean, we've been sitting here together doing this show since you played for the Rams, so this is really cool that this is this is happening. Thanks for doing it.
Well, you guys must be really old, just like I am, but I appreciate being on.
Tyler Dunn. So we know Tyler very well. He lives in our area. And I just texted him last night to tell him how excited I was about your beard.
I like it.
And he's like, well, he's a great guy. You should, you know, see if you can book him. So that's how it started. Okay.
How about this for an origin story of a great friendship?
Yes.
No kidding. Sometimes, you know, you never know how things start.
That's right. So I'm sure all our listeners are going to be excited to hear you talk about Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes in this matchup we have on Sunday night. Everybody's got their own, I think, story about how sort of they came to accept Allen, you know, so to speak, or as a good or maybe great player. How has his career looked to you?
Well, the thing that I always love is I love watching young quarterbacks that we know are talented, but have work to do. And I love to see quarterbacks that continually grow year in and year out. And that's what we've seen from Josh. And maybe even at a greater pace than maybe anybody we've seen before, but than most guys. You know, the dramatic jump that he's had, in those years and specifically into last year from an accuracy standpoint, a completion percentage standpoint, was pretty unmatched. You normally, think to yourself that it's really hard to increase your completion percentage from college to pro because the game just gets harder. And usually when somebody's got a lower completion percentage at lower levels, it's because they have some issues and it's tough to clean up those issues. So what Josh has done and how he's gotten better and better each and every year has been extremely impressive. And then you tie that into the playmaking aspect of who Josh Allen is that I don't know if anybody's really understood the level of playmaking that, that he could, he could play at. And, college, you look at a lot of the throws and you see some big, all that, but I mean, it's crazy to watch him on a weekly basis, make play after play after play. And it's big play after big play, and his ability to run in between the tackles and his speed to be able to run QB sweeps and shake people off and then make incredible throws from different platforms. It has been fun to watch him grow and to see him ascend into that level as you're talking about. I guess where I got in trouble with the Bills Mafia about a week ago was just saying that I don't believe he's at the level of a Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers type guy because there's – what I call layups, sometimes because of technique, sometimes because he's still learning how to play inside the pocket and read the entire field, that he misses some of those in games and is not as consistent with those. And so I haven't put him in that upper echelon level of those great quarterbacks. But I think he's right below that. And, he makes up for a lot of those little things with the special plays that he makes. And if he can put that all together, I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know what it's going to look like when he puts it all together with what we've seen at different times throughout these first few years of his career.
I can't imagine why a Patriots fan would be listening to our show right now, but if they are, they're going, wait, you mean last Saturday wasn't him putting it all together, Kurt?
Right. Well, I mean, here's the amazing thing is I actually broke down that game on the stuff, the breakdowns that I do. He was 21 for 25. And, incredible. And every pass he threw beyond 10 yards down the field, he completed it. Everyone 10 yards down the field. The four misses he had in that game were all short passes. Three of them that were missed, and then one that was knocked down at the line of scrimmage. Those were his four incompletions. I bet he's looking at the tape right now going, oh my gosh, I could have been perfect. If I was making those kind of throws down the field, amazing, you know, the ones that were missed when you go back and watch it, because he made the right decision on those plays, just missed by a little bit on those throws. And so, you know, it is. It's the crazy thing is when you watch it and you go, man, look at the potential that is sitting in front of you know, these Bills fans every single day.
With Kurt Warner here on the Wester Hotline, I'd like to hear you talk about sort of the scheme that he plays in or how you see it and just how you figure out, you know, in this case or in any case, how to balance, you know, when you're giving credit between the quarterback and the coordinator, et cetera.
Well, I mean, I think they always go hand in hand. You know, where you give, you know, first start with the credit to the coordinator is when you see play designs that are created and they give their quarterback easy opportunities or give them good opportunities to make plays. And Ryan does an unbelievable job of creating some great opportunities tied to Josh's skill set. Like great example is what they do down in the tight red zone is they do all kinds of different RPO type options because they know what Josh is capable of running the football and his ability to throw from different platforms and really putting the pressure on the defense. So they'll do a lot of these RPOs down there that utilize Josh's skills, but they present easy opportunities for touchdowns for Josh Allen. And so that to me is where when you start looking at that stuff, you say they both get credit because Josh can pull this stuff off and do the different things. But Brian also does a great job of creating that stuff and putting easy opportunities in front of him when they're there to be had. And so I think they're both doing a really, really good job of designing and creating an offense that, you know, it's the funny thing is that, you know, when Josh is gone or when Josh doesn't play, they're going to have to change their entire offense because very few people are going to be able to do what Josh does. But while you've got someone like that, now you can go in as an offense coordinator and be creative and go into your lab and go, well, I've got this guy, so I can do all these other things as long as he can pull them off. And so it's fun to watch them on a weekly basis because there is such great flexibility with their quarterback, and their offense coordinator does a great job of having a mind that, you know, creates those cool opportunities.
I've got one more thing on Allen and how he's progressed. Because I'm recalling, Kurt, I think it was a Tyler Dunn piece from last season, maybe midway through the season, and there was some concern, I think, from you, stop me if I start botching this at all, about him working against zone defenses as opposed to man coverage, because zone it's more confusing, and that's a big part of it, and man, like, it's a little easier to identify which guy you want to go to, and is he open, did he beat his guy, bing, there's your throw, whereas zone is a little more complex. And I wonder how you feel about, since you talked about that, if I'm right in my recollection, how he has demonstrated or not that he's progressed in that area to kind of fill out his portfolio, if you will.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about man, yeah, it's easier to decipher as a quarterback when you get man-to-man coverage, and it oftentimes just becomes, okay, where's my best matchup or where's my best route to attack man-to-man coverage. And oftentimes they love to run deep routes and what we call deep overs, and those things play right into Josh's hands, is that's what he's good at, to be able to grip it and rip it down the field and make those throws and be able to identify that quickly. And so we saw that kind of last year is when he saw man-to-man coverage teams, he was off the charts. When he saw zone teams, not quite as good, and it falls to two categories. First is the identification and the understanding of play concept so you can get through your reads and get to the right guy and not get stuck, you know, like when you see man-to-man, it's like, okay, my mentality goes to attack down the field. When you see zone, it's got to be more, okay, what is the defense giving me? And it can't always be the same mentality. You got to find the right guy. So, you know, at times he would struggle with identifying that and getting through his progressions. I think he's done a much better job with that, being more patient and understanding what those reads are, who the guys are that he's looking for, and settling more for those underneath throws. And I was just watching the game against the Chiefs the first time around, and they loved to run that deep over, as I said, and they were running one of those deep overs, and the Mike linebacker turned and chased that deep over. And boom, he went right down to Zach Moss on his check down, and the check down picked up 20-some yards for him. And so you start to realize as a young quarterback, I don't have to throw it a long way to pick up a big, you know, big play, that I can throw checkdowns if it's the right decision and it can get me big plays. So he's been better at that. You know, the other thing that oftentimes happens with zone coverage is you have to wait and anticipate it and throw with different timing. And so footwork becomes so important, is being able to get lined up and get your feet set so you can be accurate with those different throws. And that's, you know, the one area that Josh continues to work on, because he's so good off platform, and he's not the only one. I could pull out Aaron Rodgers, and I could pull out Patrick Mahomes, and how those guys miss throws as well, because they get off platform because they're so used to it and they're so good at it that they normally will make plays, but I'll see them miss a lot of throws because of it. And so when you're in zone, playing against zone, you really have to have your feet tied into when a guy's coming open. So if your feet aren't tied in, you're going to find yourself throwing balls off platform, and those are the kind of throws that you know Josh has missed throughout his career, is when his feet get away from him at times and he tries to do everything with his arm, and he'll miss some of those. And again, back to what I called earlier, some of those layups where he's in the right spot and he knows where he wants to throw it. He just doesn't make the throw because that technique gets away from him.
Just a couple of minutes left with Hall of Famer Kurt Warner here on WGR. I believe the Bills this year, Kurt, became the first team since your Rams to have all their wins be by double digits. You guys won more games than this Bills team, but still, like, they showed the ceiling this year overall. And now they get the Chiefs here. It's only round two, but it's a rematch of the AFC Championship. They're a very slight underdog. Do you feel like they're ready to do it?
Yeah, I think they're ready to do it. I think they're going to have to play a good game, because I think the Chiefs are in a better spot now than they were earlier in the year when they played, meaning they're more complete. You know, and you talk about those double-digit wins, whether it was us or the Bills. I think what you realize is you fall in love with one part of the team, you know, Josh Allen and the big plays and how he's playing. But those, you know, that speaks to the idea that you've got a complete team. And so you're talking about, you know, number one defense coupled with Josh Allen and the offense that they have. That's how you beat people by double digits. And, you know, the Chiefs now, I think, are in a place where their defense is playing way better than they were early in the year. And so so it's going to be a challenge, you know, for both sides to, you know, to do things offensively and to make the plays that they want. First time around, they held the Chiefs to zero pass plays of 20 yards or more. I got to go look in the stats and see when the last time that happened to this Chiefs team. But it doesn't happen very often. And that was a huge key. Quick pressure, you know, because they didn't bring a lot of, you know, extra guys. They didn't blitz a lot. They rushed with four, and they got pressure on Patrick Mahomes numerous times early on in that game with quick pressure with four guys, and they were able to play man coverage and forms of man coverage on the back end with help over the top, and did a great job defensively of not giving up big plays in man coverage, which we talked about earlier is hard to do. Get the pressure, challenge them at the line of scrimmage so Patrick Mahomes has to hold the football. Their game plan was great, and then it played out with offensively. They got a whole bunch of big plays from Josh in the pass game, big play touchdowns and big plays on scrambles that, to me, that was the difference in the game, and that's how you win by double digits as they did in that football game. And, you know, those are going to be keys once more this time around. You know, can they hold from those big plays? Can they get all those big plays and exploit the Chiefs the way they did last time? And then, you know, which team gets the pass rush up front is going to be key against these two quarterbacks.
Right on. Well, it's been a great pleasure to have you on, Kurt. Is there something we can do to repay you, promote something, the movie?
The movie. Website? How's the movie? How do you feel about the reviews, or how do you yourself feel about the film, American Underdog, Kurt?
Yeah, you know, the reviews have been incredible. You know, that it's – I haven't heard one fan disappointed about the movie as a whole, the story of the movie, and how it impacts people. It's they did a really great job of putting it together, and it's kind of documents not only my underdog story, but my wife and we have got a son that deals with special needs, and they're all kind of documented our different stories and our different journeys and how together we were able to get to where we're at today. And so the movie has really impacted and touched people in a lot of different ways, and it's been really cool to hear you know, how they've been impacted. And as I said, everybody's enjoying the movie, and so that's what you want to do when you make a movie. To me, it was never about, you know, how many tickets we sell in the box office. It's about, do people want to see it? Are they impacted by it? Are they talking about it after they've seen it? And all of those things have been pretty incredible. I mean, it's been pretty humbling. I mean, I don't know if you guys are movie buffs. I'm not, you know, huge on the ratings, but I know, you know, in Rotten Tomatoes, it's got a 98% audience score, which is, you know, which is about as high as they get. And so that, to me, speaks to the movie that we made and how it's touching people. And so we're humbled and blessed by it. And if anybody out there hasn't seen it, I recommend it. I think you will be touched by it, whether you're a fan of mine or not, whether you're a football fan or not, doesn't really matter. It's just a good movie with a strong story that I think will encourage you or inspire you and touch you in some way.
Tremendous. It's in theaters tonight, for example, here in our area. All right, Kurt, well, a real treat. We're done. I'm going to go text Mark Dalton and tell him, just brag to him that we had a conversation because he and I are friends. And
He's a great man. He's actually he's actually on the board of our foundation here. So he's,
yes.
He's just good, good people.
I'll probably do this. I'll probably tell a lot of people. Okay. Thanks, and really, really nice having you. Yes.
Sounds great. And we'll touch base down the road.
Would like that very much. Kurt Warner, our guest on the West Her Hotline. Cool.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Pretty good.
really, really well done.
He goes on the list.
Yep.
He's right, by the way. 98% on not Rotten Tomatoes. 75% from the tomato meter, which is the critics. That's high, too.
I don't know how you scoff at that, Joe.
No, I'm going to have to see it now.
I don't know how you scoff at it. You're a scoffer.
Scoffing.
You're sort of a natural scoffer.
It sounds like it's unscoffable.
I look at Rotten Tomatoes before I watch almost any movie. Yeah. If it's below 50, not a chance.
You're not even going to push play.
Nope.
Interesting. Sabres stars tonight. Paul Hamilton joins us to start pregame in about 15 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Sneaky Joe, this is WGR.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of guys had that in there, had that loss in their mind all offseason, really kind of fired them up throughout the offseason and kept that energy going into the season. Obviously, what happened last offseason, nobody wants to go home yet. Great opportunity against that same opponent. That loss has definitely stuck with a lot of us over the offseason, you know, coming into this season and waving up to now.
Jordan Poyer. Tomorrow we'll have our usual start time, 3 o'clock. Jesse Palmer joins us tomorrow. Also, Trey Wingo. Sal will be on. 4 to 6 will be on Facebook Live. Brought to you by Value Home Centers. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sabres pregame is coming up very shortly. Kurt Warner. One.
Out of the park.
Yeah. One start in his career against Buffalo. The Adrian Wilson game.
Oh, okay.
Is it? Yep. Never as a Ram, never as a Giant, Joe says. Just one. Confirmed? Is that a Pro Football Reference confirmed
yes.
situation?
Yeah.
One start against
one
the
start.
Bills? So, you know, you don't remember. That's his 08 Cardinals is the Super Bowl year. That's the season. You just don't maybe think. You'd think about the Edwards injury primarily from that game. Like most people would think of that. Then Lossman comes in and throws a bomb right away. But it's the only time they faced Kurt Warner.
He was on the sidelines inactive for Bills-Rams in 98. A game I don't remember.
I was in Montreal for that game, actually. The Bills won pretty easily. Bulldog, remember that one at the Dome in St. Louis? No, that wouldn't be right.
There's a Bills game in St. Louis that is played 95. During a raging blizzard here.
95.
Okay.
Because I think of Steve Tasker. 98 Rams is here. Tony Banks.
Okay.
right? Yeah. The Rams win. Yeah. The Bills go 0-3. They lose to the Rams.
Yeah, 34-33.
Yeah. I did post game. I can tell you every word I said. No, I can't. I have no idea. No. Don't remember it. I remember the game. I remember Tony Banks. Tony Banks won it late.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so be thinking about that. Talking to him. He is one of 14 quarterbacks to make two championship game appearances in his first four seasons in the league. Both victorious in his case, 99-01. Allen will join that list, make it 15 if the Bills win Sunday.
Warner, though, in 01 was 30 years old.
Yes, right, late start.
If you do it by age, you're not going to get to him. But you get to seasons, you will, because, 27 years old when he first gets on with the Rams.
Right. Famous story.
Allen is still just 25?
Sounds right.
Yeah, I don't think he's 26 yet.
Warner is 50.
He also
I'll talk
there was a thing like 2 years ago about him saying he wanted to come back and play.
Yeah.
Like at 48. Said that like if anyone needs me, I'm ready to go.
I believe him. I would have believed him at that time, I think. Maybe more so now since we know him now.
Yeah,
right. We're bonded now. Yeah.
3 years ago, team contacted him before the 2018 season. He talked to his wife, go for it. I think it would be great. So I actually talked to a coach about possibly doing it if they needed someone. But then they signed somebody else.
Well, Brady is somebody else. 44. It's maybe it's possible he would have been good. Who knows? Well, that was pretty cool. We will have Paul Hamilton on next and turn to hockey. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.